Welcome to Interceptor Beyond Podcast. My name is Arthur, and today we have a band with a surprise. A nice, cool, awesome band, Howling Giant. You can read the title, you know already. It is a super awesome band and really nice and really cool people. It was recorded online and I released this interview just a couple hours, literally 5 hours after the recording. So it is right. It is fresh. Don't forget to follow the podcast on any platform of your choice, leave a rating, and follow the podcast on Instagram at Interceptor Beyond. Leave a rating, hit a like, you know how it works. Anyways, let's listen to the interview.
The sweet AI voice.
Yeah, they're getting better and better, man. Those dulcet AI tones, you know?
Hey, there's Tom.
Hey, I've been here, see you guys. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Oh, I haven't. Okay. I didn't know you were here.
Oh, maybe on his iPhone, it's like a screen is small, so you can't see the all the people. That's why.
Yeah, it didn't show all the people, so I thought there was just three of us. But anyway,
all right. it would be cool if you were talking shit about Tom, and then
I know, yeah. Like, yo, I'm right here, Seabass. Well, I mean, honestly, though, what else is new? That's just how we operate over here.
You know, that's right.
You know, like I'm not gonna like cut it out. I just want to continue with it. But still, can you please introduce yourself to our listeners so that we know your names and your voices? You know, because it's going to be audio only, so don't worry about it.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm Sebastian, and I am the bass player for Howling Giant.
I'm Tom. I play guitar and kind of the lead vocals, I guess, in Howling Giant. Good to be here.
And I'm Zach. I play drums, do the vocal harmonies, and, you know, occasionally play shaker and cowbell on some stuff, you know?
Cowbell, man.
I think that should make it to the live show, because that's we do it on the record, but we have yet to implement the cowbell live. And I think that's an opportunity that's being missed.
100%. When I track those, though, it's just like, I need a third arm. However, we just added a new guitar player, James Sanderson. And, you know, we'll just have him not play guitar during those parts, and he'll just slam a cowbell front and center.
So he's the bell boy.
He's the bell boy.
He's our bell boy. Exactly.
Oh, bell boy. Okay. Well, two questions immediately. Okay. On which songs do we hear the cowbell? Because we need to know. And secondly, with the Jason, you know, like what's the story, you know, because it's a new information.
Yeah, yeah. Cowbell is on Juggernaut on Glass Future and Hawk in a Hurricane for sure. When we do percussion, like at the end of the record making process, I kind of just go overboard and I record way too much extra stuff, tambourine, cowbell, you know, any of that stuff. And then we cut back because, yeah, I think when I first sent the tracks to the boys, there was like cowbell on like 3/4 of the record. Too much.
I will admit there was too much cowbell, but I think that the cowbell is an underutilized and powerful tool that in the right way can just bring any riff to the next level. Listening to it, and I think we were like, man, we want those Kansas vibes on some of those riffs. And both Juggernaut and Hawk in a Hurricane have these sections with these like big pentatonic, just rock and roll riffs. And you're like, man, you blend in a little cowbell, and it's on the next level. No doubt.
Jesus, you guys are crazy. Man, I mean, you never know. You might be asking for trouble, you know, with the cowbell, you know?
Yeah.
Begging for it. I'm begging for trouble with the cowbell.
You know, like you should ask fans, you know, next time when we meet live, everybody brings a cowbell. We're going to do all the thing together. You know, like the metal, they do this how it's called, the rowboat or whatever.
The rowboat,
You know, everybody brings up the fucking cowbell and it just like starts like screaming.
Oh, okay. I've heard about the rowboat. I've heard about the rowboat move. Could that move be pulled off at one of our shows, or does it have to be like a heavier metal that you're busting out the rowing?
I think the song that would make sense for people to do the rowing would be Wailord. So we'd have to be playing like super old tunes. But like that one makes sense, you know. It's shanty like.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll keep that in mind. I think that would be a good idea.
But I like the idea.
Take any of the songs and make it like 30% slower. You know, like the beat.
Yeah.
I like the idea of everybody bringing the cowbell. That's, you know, that's pretty unique. You know, you can't get into the show without your cowbell, man.
I was going to say, we are out here to make money. So you got to buy a cowbell from the merch table, you know? This is not, you know, buy your Howling Giant brand cowbell with a Howling Giant t-shirt over at the convenient merch table at the back, you know?
Special limited edition with some sick-ass illustrations on the cowbell. And it's a good publicity, you know? Like, if you can get into the news, say, like, oh, my God, it's the first venue that has signed cowbell is prohibited to enter. Yes. Anybody with cowbell, like, no, you know, because there's already an accident. There's always...
Oh, man. That'd be great.
Yeah, totally a band that can bring back the cowbell.
We're trying. Yeah.
We're doing. We're going to do it. Hey, as for James Sanderson, you were asking.
James,
yeah. He's been a good friend of ours for a very long time, and we started bringing him in to help us lyrically during Masamune, our split with Sergeant Thunderhoof. And we were kind of hitting a bit of a wall lyrically, and we brought him in to kind of advise us and help us break through. And that relationship kind of developed over the years, and he started going on the road with us as our merch guy. And then he really got involved in production and lyrics for Glass Future. So we started to discuss, like, okay, well, we have all these extra guitar parts and extra keys and organ parts on our records. It'd be great to bring some of that live. So right now we're getting James in on all guitar, and then one day it'd be nice to have him have like a little station on the side with keys and now a cowbell, of course, as well. he'll be an all-purpose kind of utility guy, and that way we can bring a lot of that record sound live.
Yeah, it's actually like I wanted to ask regarding the record sound. It's like when you were writing music for this album. And first of all, congrats on the album. It's a fucking awesome album.
Thank you.
Really enjoy it. It's really awesome. Were you considering the live performance also, or is studio performance and live is completely different?
I mean, there's definitely a balance that you have to find when you're doing both. I think in past records, we would just keep adding parts, especially as a guitar player. It's easy to keep adding harmonies and things to make the sound huge. And, you know, you can't always pull that off live. So this record, I think we really tried to, like, let's make something that will translate live. So we wrote that, and then I just couldn't help myself, and I went back and added on harmonies on everything. So we were kind of, like, you know, not forced, but we had the opportunity to bring in the fourth member to try and realize it. That being said, there are always differences, you know? I think the beauty of a record is that you can add so many things to it and make it larger than life. And I think it's okay for that to be that way. The live show is pared down, but there's an energy that's tangible by being there that doesn't exist on the record. So they're two very different things that have, I think, really strong aspects, you know, but they are different.
Yeah, and that also the show, the theatrical part of it, so the cowbell, for example, right?
If it was up to me, we'd all just be playing cowbell. And that might be the next record, you know? So would you buy that record?
Just put a distortion on the cowbell, and then it's gonna be the drums of hell.
Yeah.
So this is like the studio type of. And secondly, like the album is sick. The new vinyl that is already sold out. That I saw that they on the Instagram you wrote the limited edition liquid. How would you describe this vinyl thing? I have no idea. It's sick as fuck.
Yeah, so it's a liquid filled vinyl, and our buddies were just friends with this guy in Paducah, Kentucky that was making these records, and we were like, wow, we should do that. His waiting list is like 6 months long, so we did our first one with the Space Between Worlds, our first full length record, and that went well and sold very quickly. So we're like, okay, we got to get some for Glass Future. This thing looks so cool. And he customizes each one based off the identity of the record too. So this one has the little dragon floating inside it and like fireballs.
So for anyone who might not know what that like looks like, it's basically two records that he's taken, and he has this way that he seals the outside and will inject with a liquid. So when the record is actually spinning, like you'll see those colors and oils and all that like swirling around on the inside.
Yeah.
But like Zach said, he'll also put in those little those little images inside that float around in the oil. So it's really cool. I don't know how he does it. I think it's like top secret down in his lab, you know?
I've never seen anything like this. I think it's like, I just realized, not realized, I was thinking about today. It's, you've opened up like a new niche in the vinyl production. I've never seen anything like this. Like a super mega premium luxury vinyl, like super mega premium, you know? Like, super limited edition, but it's freaking, and because of that, for example, I thought like, why nobody's like selling vinyl players, turntables with lights under them, you know, like the,
oh yeah,
that would look so sick with this vinyl, you know, but I think a new niche has opened up.
Yeah. I mean, that probably is the next level, right? Because over the last like 5 to 10 years, there's been a huge resurgence in records, but it's been with a focus on like vintage gear, you know, find the old Sabbath records and buy them from the dollar store or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's maybe the next level, is like make it the entertainment like section of your house, you know? What's the future of record players? I like the lights underneath. That's awesome.
There are some amazing setups that we've seen just from fans alone, or if you join any of the like Facebook groups or Discords or whatever else it is, people share their like vinyl rigs and like, remember like Bucky's set up his record room he showed us ages ago, or like we got a fan, Brian, who like crafted like this really cool lighting setup like you're talking about. But it's, you know, it's fan crafted. He customized it for himself. So I'm sure like somebody's got to see that.
Was it him where he had like lights set up that would react to the music, like the decibel levels or something? Someone had something hooked up.
Somebody, I think it was Gavin. That. I think it was Gavin. Yeah, he had like, so he had the smart light, the smart bulbs, that the LEDs that change, that can change color. And somehow he was syncing it up to, well, I think he does it to records, but he was also syncing it up to our Twitch streams. When we changed the color scheme, the colors in his room changed. So I went to a red light and it would go red. Like, that's wild.
That's so sweet.
That is so cool.
Immersion. Yeah.
So next thing you need to connect the all the electricity to your body, you know, to have this sensation. Yeah. I see where it's going, like, slowly. Yeah. I mean, you're not far from OnlyFans, you know, like doing Twitch.
Yeah.
Listen, be careful with suggestions like that. We, you know, that might be the future of Howling Giant.
It's only Howling Giant.
I know where you're going. I see it already. No Twitch, this stuff. I see the end game
maybe?
Here. And you also like are gonna do the Twitch stream. You started again, right? This Thursday, right? You're gonna,
yeah, we're getting back into it a little bit, and kind of, we did a bunch of different stuff over the pandemic, but now when we stream, it's typically kind of just like showing people our rehearsals. Like, we're getting ready for our tour with the Obsessed and Gozu. So we'll let people in once a week while we're prepping tunes and figuring out different arrangements and all that good stuff.
Yeah, because like, I know that you start, I mean, in the last couple of months, like last 3 months, you did like shit ton of interviews. That's why, like, I'm not asking the obvious questions because it's pretty much the same. But I have to say that like the album is great and I really love it. And but I already know the answers to many questions. That's why this interview is so short. I don't want to ask the boring stuff. But you started Twitch in during the Corona time, and then that's what I wanted to ask. Like, when you're gonna start doing that again? You know, but you already like posted about it today, I think.
Right, yeah, just this morning.
And I think for us with Twitch, you know, we're not trying to like do it like all the time. We're kind of doing it when we can in between tours leading up to a tour. And I think that that's kind of the difference between like a regular Twitch streamer who's just going to like go on a regular schedule.
Yeah.
But this is kind of cool to say, hey, we got a tour coming up. So jump on in and check out the songs we're going to be working on for this tour. It's almost like a promo for the tour in a way.
I mean, this is the recording of the creative process, which like kind of can be like even part of the documentary in the future. No.
Well, what's really cool is that we have so many, you know, we did that all through the pandemic, and a lot of it is recorded so we can go back and check and see like, hey, we were jamming that riff. Oh, that's a cool little riff. Let's work that into something, you know? And so then people hear the record come out and they say, I remember when that riff was written, because I was there at that exact moment. So it almost makes it a more special thing for some of the fans, you know, when they listen to the music, they can kind of take that journey with us of how the song was crafted.
I'm pretty sure, I mean, you have a chat, right, during the live streams. You read probably mm-hmm. the chat. How much into consideration you are taking what people are writing there regarding, like, the music? They're like, maybe between you, like, oh, that's sick, but somebody says it's not, like, on chat, or the vice versa, you know? Does it get to you mentally, you know?
I mean, we have a pretty good chat, and our chat feels more like a community than it does just a chat room. So it almost feels like, you know, when we turn that on and start playing, you know, we see people come on and it's like seeing our friends pop up.
We don't get a ton of negativity, luckily, because that can happen with some of the bigger streamers, and they have something that's called like a few moderators in there that'll kind of try to handle that. So, but I mean, that's been our vibe as a band in general, is just like, you know, it is the theme of positivity and a like just welcoming, you know, community, which is pretty cool. I mean, within the Twitch and the Discord channel that we have, like, everyone is just super kind, and that's what we want, you know?
And it is cool when they jump in, even though they don't, like, they won't say a lot of negative things, but it's nice when they say, like, that section was dope. Because we might not realize it, or we might not think of that as, you know, something that's better than something else we jam. But when someone in chat's like, I loved that slowed down section you did, or whatever.
Right.
And then you can talk to them and be like, okay, sweet. Well, like, let's do another thing like that. You know what I mean? You get that real-time feedback, which is super cool to have.
It's a movement. It's not a cult.
That's right.
It can be both.
It can be both. Yeah, but actually, I didn't know about the... I mean, it makes sense about the Discord channel, but I didn't see it on your website, or that you don't have the icon, or maybe
It might not be on our website. Actually, good call, because we put it on our Instagram, and we'll post about it every once in a while, just across all the social media, but yeah.
Yeah, I should have.
It's not something that I need to work on, so I'm going to write that down.
you go work on that now, okay? We'll handle the rest of the interview.
I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, that's what I do with each interview. I just break down all the bullshit that people are not doing and just giving smack for that.
-1 point for us right now. Got it.
No, wow. But guys, what you're doing, like, outside music, right? It's really intense, you know, all the interviews. Like, I realized that, like, all the interviews you do, like, you're doing, like, really professionally, like, really, like, on the point. I mean, if you have the same questions, you can, of course, practice them. I understand. But still, you know, like, there's a lot of work that's going on. I mean, slowly getting to the Mastodon level.
That's
We're
right.
trying, man. We're trying.
Is it still a dream to open for Mastodon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's big time. You kidding me? I wonder what those guys are like in real life, man. Because, like, you see Brent Hines. Is he? Do you think he's a madman, like 24/7 off the cam?
It's hard to say. Yeah, I think he's got to be.
I don't know.
But you never know. They just have such big personalities. I'm like, man, you know, they got it down. I want to see what it's like to hang with those dudes sometime. That would be super cool.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that you're gonna do it quite soon. I mean, how it's going, you know. I mean, it's a slow build-up, kind of, but everything is solid, on a good level. You're doing it great. I mean, I wish you all the best with that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. By the way, like, regarding the Magnetic Eye Records, right? Are there any plans regarding the, I mean, if you can say, like, Redux stuff also, like, because they do a lot of cover compilations. Anything planned where you can be involved also?
So we did a ton of those for a little while. Because they kept on asking, we kept on saying yes. And then eventually the label head was like, we got to stop and give other bands a chance. And we were like, that's fine, that's fine.
But then they would still back out
and they would ask us. And we're like, well, of course we're going to do it. So I think the embargo has been lifted recently. So we got an email with a few options. And I think we're going to go over and see what we have time for, basically, and what we have time to work on and record. But I know they've got a few in the works. I just can't say anything about what they are right now. Yeah.
Regarding them, of course, we don't want to know. We don't want to know.
Zach, spill it. You've got the intel. Tell us now here.
It's a Teletubbies live redux. So,
dude, I called it.
Mashup of Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift, my favorite musicians.
I would do that.
I want to quickly like talk about the European tour, right? Because I interviewed Heavy Tempo, which was your buddy band during the European tour. I mean, I know how was the European tour for you, but you know, like a little bit more, you know, I missed the show. I was sick. I couldn't come to your show. So, you know, like,
yeah,
how was it, you know, like in Europe?
It was great, man. Obviously, you know, we had ups and downs. Our van being broken into was not fun. But the reaction that we had after that and the GoFundMe and everything that people just shared constantly, it just really blew us away. So that brought the morale back up. The shows over there were super fun. Getting to play festivals in Europe is just something that I don't think we've ever thought that we would really do, you know? And so it's just kind of mind blowing. And yeah, it was fun. We got to have, you know, European chocolate almost every single day. So it wasn't,
you say we, that was you, Sebastian.
That was you, Sebastian.
We it's a singular we.
The royal we.
Royal we.
In each interview, there's a little bit more about the food. I know Tone drank a lot of wine. Now I know Sebastian, like, chocolate. In reality, all of you ate a lot and drank a lot of European stuff.
I'm you can
sure.
tell. Yeah. You look at me and you're like, man, that guy needs to slow down, buddy. Maybe
no, you just
him.
Look all healthy, you know?
Like right.
The big difference is because a lot of the, when we play in the U.S., a lot of the venues, you know, it's not so common to provide catering, you know, here in the U.S. to smaller bands. So when we're on the road and we go to a dive bar venue over in Europe and they have like a full meal prepared for us, that somebody's grandma cooked.
Well, and I think we should shout out a couple of those meals real quick, just before we move on from this section.
100%, yeah.
Giacomo in Viareggio at, what was the name of that venue? Gob? Do you remember, Zach?
Yeah, it was Gangibiccio, Gob, yeah, right?
Yes. Man, what did he make us? So just after we had our van broken into, so we were in like poor spirits. We were not feeling great. And he shows up and says, hey, I heard about what happened to you in your van. I'm going to take care of you guys tonight. I've been spending all day making this lasagna. He's like, I made this and this and this. He had like a couple different dishes. And we get done. It's like one of the most amazing meals I've had, I feel like, in who knows how long. And I feel like I weigh 1,000 pounds. I ate too much. We got a show. He's like, here you go, Tom. Gives me an espresso shot. This is like at night. I'm like, okay, I see what it's about, Giacomo. And then he's like, but we can't have you like so hopped up on espresso. So you got to balance it out. So he gets another one with some Sambuca in it. And it's like, dude, you got this all planned out, Giacomo. Like he's got the whole meal planned start to finish. That did a lot to pick up our spirits, man. So that went a long way.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about it before, but also the vegan goulash in Siegen at Vortex was amazing.
I just kept eating.
So good.
I mean, the meal in Vienna at, why can't I think of the venue right now?
Arena.
Was that, what was it?
Arena.
Yes. Yeah. Dude,
yeah.
Which that venue was just wild, like an old, like, butcher, like
it used to be a slaughterhouse in 1970 right. until 1976.
Man, it was cool.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's a legit venue, right? It's, and the food there is great.
Oh yeah, yeah. They made that like kind of curry chicken for us.
Now
yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah,
yes.
that was so good.
And we slept upstairs in the triple bunks. That was like, yeah.
Well, and it was cool to look at the walls and see, you know, all the bands that wrote their names on there. Some of our favorites, one that jumped out at me was ASG when they were touring with Ancients back in, when was that? I don't know when that would have been.
Yeah,
probably 2009 or something like that. But
yeah,
but we played with Ancients, which is a great band from, not Toronto,
Vancouver.
In Canada. And they were just so dope. And yeah, it was just cool to see them and ASG and like Weed Eater and all these guys that we know from back home being like, man, so cool that they've been here too.
Yeah.
A little piece of history for sure.
Nice. So you wrote so we can find your band name somewhere on the walls there, right?
Howling Giant is written on the walls, baby. You got to go find it for yourself.
All right. I'm going to do a next interview there, so I'm going to look for it.
Yes. Perfect.
All right, guys. What's the plan? So you're like preparing for the North American tour right now, which is starting in March, I think?
Yeah, around March 12th, I think, is the start.
Yeah, because I will release this episode the next couple of days, just edit it and so that people know about it. So you're going North America, Canada also, I think?
No Canada in this one. We're working on another tour that we'll announce in the next, hopefully, couple months in the fall that we're going to cover a lot more of the spots that we're not hitting with the Obsessed this spring. So, and some festivals later in the fall as well. Our guys working on another European tour. We're hoping to be back this year. We're not sure yet, but for sure we will be back as soon as we can.
Yeah, and you said that you're planning to go, you would like to go to the northern part of Europe this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah, Sweden, Norway, and all those countries.
Sweet, man.
Yeah. But I want to go play Arena again because I'm just, that was a cool spot. So I'm sure we will.
I'm pretty sure if you come and they will even put you in a bigger, you know, the biggest one, hall. I won't be surprised.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, awesome. I won't be surprised. Yeah. I won't be surprised.
That would be dope.
All right, the tour is coming, European. I mean, we're still going to see each other, hopefully, sometime next year, this year. But are you concentrating right now only on the tour? Or are you still working on new stuff? I mean, this album just came out, but you recorded this album like almost 2 years ago.
Right. I mean, some of the songs, the ideas were 3 or 4 years old at that point. We've been accumulating, and I think we've talked about this a little bit before, where we overwrote for this record. So we actually wrote 18 songs. It was hard to cut them all down. Last July, we started recording another project, just another record. And we actually just got back from the studio, a second time, a studio in Texas that our guy who plays keys on the record owns. So we're always working on something new. That's just kind of the cycle of things. And it's just funny when something like Glass Future comes out, because like we're thinking back to some of these songs being like Twitch streams in the middle of the pandemic during the shutdown. So it's cool to be able to tour on that from something that no one was sure it was happening around then. So, but yeah, we're always working on new tunes and excited to be able to share that hopefully sooner than later. So, yeah.
Any music videos planned? You have like really sick promotional stuff, like with music video, animated music video, for example, that was great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got one more music video for Glass Future that will be coming out, I think, towards the end of February. So it'll be the last of all the videos for Glass Future. And I'm pretty sure the label said it was going to be the last week of February.
Yeah, I mean, just before the tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a little sense. Yeah. I wanted to ask also about the game, right? I didn't...
Oh, the video game on the site? Yeah, the Comet Rider.
Well, wow, it's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not many bands who have it, something like that. It would be cool if you would have made like one more.
Yeah,
it would have been sweet. No. We're open to that idea for sure. I would definitely do more games.
With Cowbell.
Yeah, it's a Cowbell RPG, you know?
That's right.
A quest for the Cowbell.
Or you are a cowbell.
Or you are a cowbell.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The possibilities are endless, what we can do.
That's right.
All right, guys, I don't want to bother you too much. I mean, I got what I wanted. Which song should I put at the end of this interview, which is a good introduction to your band?
Juggernaut.